You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out. Well, it's January, and you know what that means. Lots and lots of horror movies coming out. I don't really know why that is, except that I think that horror movies are like one of the only genres that doesn't really have any set rules. It doesn't have to have big celebrity names in it to be successful. It doesn't have to follow any track that you recognize to be successful. And now in the streaming age, that's even more true. So I think a lot of the time the studios just don't know what the fuck to do with horror movies.
I think it's more they don't know what to do with them. They're like, I guess we'll put it out now. We have nothing else and maybe the kids will want to see it. Who knows?
And in October, they just put out the stuff that is usually the worst R films of the year. Like 8 teenagers are stalked and killed and they're all annoying so you don't care.
And we always get one freaky. We get one freaky or something like that every October.
Sure.
Something that actually is good, that hidden in amongst all the rest of the normal schlock. But in January, we sneak out some good stuff. And I think a lot of stuff is coming out right now. Like, oh my God, you should have seen the list of emails I got the last 2 days of movies they just announced are dropping in the next month or two. Because nobody knew when theaters were going to open up again, right? It's hard to know where to program stuff. Even if what you think is good, if it's small, you don't know where to put it. Because you don't want to, if you're getting a theatrical run, you do not want to go up against some beast. The theaters could be starting to aggressively open again in as many as a few months. So I think all these studios who have films like Bloody Hell, which we're here to review today, which is like, we think this is good, but you can't put it up against a James Bond movie. Let's get it out now while people are still stuck at home.
Although I should say, if there was any movie that could also be called No Time to Die, it would be this one.
That's fair. That's Davey you just heard quipping. Hello, Davey.
Hi, hello, I quip.
You do. You quip. It's who you are. You're a quipper.
Mama ain't raised no quipper.
And Ben.
Hi. I wish I knew some Finnish for a better joke here.
Right? I mean, there's lots of Finnish it puns, but the movie makes those itself. Yeah. Although this movie is not, in fact, Finnish, it does largely take place in Finland. Alistair Grierson's Bloody Hell is a comedy horror action film that starts off kind of just feeling like it's going to be like a Joe Carnahan type actioner, right? You know, like very fast camera cuts and very like quippy dialogue and very, very violent as we see the main character played by Ben O'Toole, who I think definitely his agent was like, we're going to make you into the new Bruce Campbell, sir. This following his lead role in 2018's Necrotronic.
Which I think nobody saw either.
It's good. You should watch it. I like it. It's on Shudder. I had fun with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
It's one of those bigger, ridiculously huge, ambitious, low budget, crazy horror sci-fi things with a very charismatic lead character. So
fair enough.
Ben O'Toole plays Rex. He's, when we meet him, he's in a bank. He's standing in line. He clearly wants to talk to one of the tellers. They have a relationship of some sort. It's unclear when suddenly bank robbers come in. Oh my God, bank robbers with shotguns. And everybody's like on the floor and he's like, looks, and there's this woman who's got a, you can see she's got a revolver poking out of his purse. And he's like, yeah, you can tell him he's considering it. And she's like, no. And it looks like the choice is taken away from him. But then there's a fall. The first flies in the air, lands in his lap. And he's like, well.
Yeah, he's got a great, fantastic reaction shot face for that moment. He's like, oh, fuck me. Now I have to do it, right? It's like, yeah.
It's God telling you it's your time, Rex. So Rex goes in and fucking Bruce Willis is in the 80s that shit. He just goes through and murderizes all the bank robbers. And you're like, God damn, dude. It quickly cuts to past the details and goes, he was immediately put on trial, despite the fact that the public was largely hailing him as like this you know, an action hero, pretty much. Yeah. That they were like, well, look, somebody died during this, and as far as we're concerned, that's your fault, even though you didn't pull that trigger. This wouldn't have escalated. So he goes to jail for 8 years, comes out. People are still like, oh, take your picture. What are you doing? Take your picture. And he's like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. And so because of a totally random throw a thing at a map, see where it lands decision, he decides to go, I'm going to Finland. He gets to Finland and hasn't even gotten out of the cab before he finds himself abducted and waking up in a basement somewhere, chained up with his leg cut off and strange growling monstery sounds coming from the house. So what's going on? Well, that's what Rex has to figure out. And oh, to make things even more interesting, Rex is basically Ed Norton from Fight Club, because a duplicate of him follows him around everywhere he goes, being snarky and talking shit to him, which isn't real, at least in this movie. I wouldn't be surprised if they make him real enough in a future installment, yeah. But is kind of treated in that Tyler Durden-ish sort of sense. Like he is the devil on the shoulder in a lot of ways. Like, come on, do it, man. You know you want to do it. Do it. It definitely is the one gimmick. That actor, Ben O'Toole, and the one actor, Ben O'Toole, are what I think propels this to being a much better movie than it would have been otherwise.
That's what I was going to say is when you were saying, oh, yes, Necrotronic is great, especially because it's got a charismatic lead. It's like, no, even if you're like unsure going to bloody hell, the first few minutes with this guy, when you don't even have him with his like dual personality thing going on, is already charismatic. And when you get to that, he's stealing the scene from himself throughout the rest of the movie, where it's like, you're just a really likable guy and you, like, you're doing everything I wish I was doing in those scenes where I'm like, no, come up with a good pun. No, you need a good line for this. No, you should kick his ass and then do this. Like, yeah, no, that's what I do in my head anyway, and I'm not as charismatic about it. Damn it.
Yeah, he is definitely chopping up all the scenery, despite the premise being sort of like a Ed Norton, Brad Pitt thing. He's playing it like Bruce Campbell, and that is definitely not unintentional. It's shot in a faintly Raimi-esque sort of way. Like I said, lots of zoom cuts and craziness, and everything is, you know, there's cannibalism involved at one point, and this family that looks like they should be normal people, but they're not, and there's a love interest. Also, he's missing a limb, so it's hard not to draw right there that comparison. A lot of people I've seen in reviews have said they didn't think the movie was very good except for him, and I don't agree with that. I think it's a solid film that's definitely elevated to, yeah, I'd definitely tell people to watch this by Ben O'Toole, because he is so goddamn charismatic here. This is going to do more for him as an actor than it is for anyone else in this movie.
Definitely. Although I will say the actress that plays the love interest, I think she does get a few pretty good scenes and some really, really funny stuff.
Meg Frazier is her name, for the record.
She also does a very good job. I don't get where people are coming from saying that this movie is only good because of Ben O'Toole. It's legitimately very funny. And while the action isn't throughout the entire film, it's not a pulse-pounding thrill ride the entire time. This is a really well-written, clever script with a lot of good visuals and good tension. This movie's good.
It actually moves really quickly. I think it was 90 minutes like in total, and it doesn't feel like it's too short, and it doesn't outlive the welcome of some simple things. Like, there's a reasonable amount of time of him incapacitated, more or less. That's a lot of him to play off himself, which is, as we've said, a high point, but still, that can get really dull in a movie. And, you know, in 90 minutes, like, no, this is just enough of this to move the story along. And you know, they use some great cutaways. There's a great part where he gets drugged up and he kind of get a better idea of what happened in the past. But they do it in a really creative way, which is much more fluid and adds a lot more depth to it than watching the same scene again from another perspective. And also you realize he is more fucked up than just talking to himself, potentially. Yeah. And it's kind of great when he's trying to explain that to the love interest for a period. He's like, oh yeah, I talked to myself. Don't worry, it's fine. It's like, even his alter ego's like, oh no, it's not fine. We've been doing this for far too long. It's like,
he's Ash Williams, who's a cartoon, but not a cartoon. He's Ash Williams, who has serious psychological problems, like some sort of PTSD or something with this thing, who is not evil. Like, it's not some demon. Sometimes it's like, oh yeah, this is the right thing to do. Like, even there's a point where he's like, clearly wants to be alone with the girl, and he's like, okay, I get it, I'm gone. You know, he's considerate, if nothing else. It really is that back and forth between Ben and Ben, or Rex and Rex, that I think is the strong point here. But you're right, Davey, the writing is strong, the There's a lot of really funny lines in here. It's well, if not a bit derivatively shot. I did find myself going every time they would flash back to the bank, which they do, I think, twice in here to sort of drizzle out more of the story. I thought those were actually the high points of the movie, because that story is super cool. And I love watching, as you're seeing people who are watching the footage, people are like, this guy is a fucking badass. I love that.
I think it's clear for this director, like, he didn't shoot a bad horror movie, but it's like, dude, you actually have some chops for an action movie, or at least maybe your B-unit director if you gave him that. That scene is like, you actually shot this well, like, even when it's just the guys watching on the security cameras, it's like, no, you even found a way to make a security camera footage where the stationary camera not boring. It's nice to see that this movie's kind of maybe two people starting to find a niche, because clearly I looked at Beto O'Toole's IMDb before this, like, your agent clearly in the last, like, 4 years has been like, please, he's a leading man. Trust me, he's a leading man. And it's paying dividends for him. And maybe Alistair Grierson, maybe he might find something from this too, because this is a fine calling card for bigger horror studios or studios that he might want to work with. I did not feel bored at all, and I was exhausted today while watching this because I've been up since 6 a.m.
Ben O'Toole has had other roles in really big Hollywood releases too, not leading roles, mind you. Sure. But he was in like Detroit, The Last Pirates of the Caribbean, Hacksaw Ridge. So he's been in some big movies with speaking roles, but it's only recently he's really started to be pushed in these smaller indie films as this guy is a leading man. And maybe he's the kind of leading man that is only ever going to be a leading man in a Bruce Campbell sense, but hey man, it's a good living.
Yeah, it worked for Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
I think it could work for this guy too.
Yeah, maybe they do a spinoff of Burn Notice. Hey, I found your guy.
I love Burn Notice, so yeah, I would watch the hell out of that.
Y'all thinking too low. Bubba Hotep again.
Ooh, we do need a new Bubba.
But speaking of sequels, this movie is totally all about having a sequel, which normally I'm like, come on. But this movie, by the time you're in the halfway point, you're going, God, I hope they do another movie with this character. I really, really like him a lot. And it doesn't end the way I would expect it to leading. I kind of want it to go into a him versus some other horror scenario that he has to deal with. But he's like, I've been through this before.
Especially because the premise already is, I went through this super crazy life-changing event and now I have to fucking do it again. That just gets funnier and funnier every single time. Like by movie six, he's like, stop trying to kill me. It won't work. And I would watch a lot of these.
I was going to say, I don't love necessarily some of the ending tease. Like parts of it are great. Like I like them where it leaves him the love interest in that last scene at first. But then like it tries to do something with that character that I felt was like, look, you're trying to way overplay some of this psychological thing. I'm like, this scene could have been funnier. But then it ends strong where it's like Rex is clearly still deranged, even though they try to hint that maybe he's doing better. It's like, oh, okay, you kind of wrap that back around. But I think that's part of that same issue with this movie where there are some of those like growing pains where I'm like, you're trying to reach a little bit more than your content needs because you've been just keeping us going. You don't have to go always over the top because everything else about your premise is over the top. I mean, the final big fight scene is completely insane. In fact, where it's got some of those kills where I'm like, even I didn't know where you were going to start this, but the way they started that scene was like, okay, that's pretty fantastic. That's really dark.
It's one of the best dispatches of a main monster in a film I've seen in a long time. The moment it shows you what the thing is, you're like, oh no. It's not ridiculously gory. It definitely has gory moments to it, for sure. But it's not over-focused on the gore. So people are like, I don't like splatstick. I wouldn't call it that, really. It does have its moments, though. But let's go to final thoughts. Davey, kid with knife, get us started.
I really liked the kid with the knife. I thought he was very funny. And I was like, that's who I want to represent on this review. If there was one big problem that I would say with this movie, it's that the antagonistic force has a lot of characters and it feels somewhat reminiscent of stuff like Ready or Not. I think it doesn't use that ensemble nearly as well as it could. I think there's a lot of stuff left on the table with the unit that could have been explored, especially because of how fast-paced the movie is. But outside of that, and some of the stuff that you were saying, Ben, with the ending, I agree with you on, while the movie kind of jumps back and forth really quickly between, like, some surprisingly good drama, especially in that first act, with the ridiculous Tyler Durden comedy, with the out-there kind of gonzo action horror stuff, it does it all really well, and like we've said, Ben O'Toole really anchors this movie twice. It's so much fun. It's the kind of movie that you want in the middle of the January drought to just be like, oh, thank God. Oh, this is what it feels like to breathe again and get a really good, violent, gnarly horror movie. This movie's just a lot of fun. I'm gonna give this 7.5 out of 10 Kids with Knives.
Ben!
Yeah, I gotta agree with Davey largely that the family gets underused. I think they do a lot of good work to kind of characterize each of them with their own quirks. There's like the twins with the weird mask. There's the older brother of the love interest that's the organized one who manages most of it. The parents who are completely batshit and a weird that weird loving marriage of deranged sociopaths. There's great base stereotype elements that I think play well enough for them. Because this movie is, I think they knew, they're like, we're writing a character origin story movie. This is the origin story of Rex. That's why it's the main focus, partially because they also probably only had enough budget for that really big scene in the bank that they shot probably twice to get both angles. And then they shot the big fight scene at the end in the house. It's like, yeah, that's fine. Like, it's clear you're using your budget well. It has some issues because of that, because you don't get enough from every character. They don't clearly explain the other elements of being out in the woods and other parts of the movie, I'll say. Like, those scenes are good early horror setup, and they're probably the most actual horror, I would say, of a lot of this movie. The rest of it is kind of like tortured action hero, which I'm fine with all of that, because, again, the leading man sells it. Meg Frazier as Alia is entertaining enough. I think this is like her first big production. And then she shows enough of that, like, clearly she's a traumatized person and a deranged person, like, in many ways throughout the movie. And, you know, I can appreciate that they don't shy away from, like, she, like the rest of her family, are insane, just in different ways.
Yeah, she's cute insane. She's quirky.
I have dated many like her.
And I'm gonna.
I mean, you can make the jokes like, that's not healthy. For Rex, it's a pretty healthy relationship, but that's a whole nother story. Yeah. I greatly enjoyed this. We get a lot of things during Screener Squad where you're like, this trailer's good, and then it never sticks the landing fully or even this much. This really kind of stuck that landing and also did not follow the trailer exactly, but the trailer actually left things out. So certainly if you're not sure you trust us for some reason, feel free to watch the trailer. You're not going to actually be spoiled, really. I'm going to have to give it 8 out of 10 legs on the bone.
I think this is a really good movie, but it's a really great character. Ben O'Toole, yeah. I really hope more people get to see this because this is an actor you go, wow, you really committed to this bit and you did such a good job and you are just dripping with charisma. This guy deserves to go more places. I hope this works out for him. There is a lot of fun to be had. It is a super fast-paced movie. Despite the fact that full half of it is just him hanging from chains, it never is dull at all. It's always funny. It has a lot of suspense. Like, how is he going to get out of this situation? And what is that thing you keep hearing growling in the background? There's a lot of cool stuff going on here. And I definitely overall strongly recommend it. I think that some people had problems with the fact that there's a problematic nature to Rex, the main character, because it deals with him making the wrong decisions by using violence and then sort of celebrates him for making those decisions later. But although it's not overt in the movie of saying, yeah, this guy has real fucking problems. Like, yeah, obviously that wasn't the normal way to go about things. It is there nonetheless. That was my takeaway from it. And I think maybe it's possible to read too much into a film because we're constantly looking for things like that to shout about. I don't know. No, it's just my take, but I did enjoy this. I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10. Really amazing jailhouse workout regimens, because Jesus Christ, this dude spends most of the movie with his shirt off, stretched out, and you're like, you're fucking cut, dude.
But also he has the great moment as soon as he finds out that he doesn't have one of his legs. He does a pull-up and he's like, I'm so much lighter now. Fucking hysterical.